This week, Pastor Randy starts a brand new sermon series called Unstoppable, and it's based off the book of Acts that we're walking through together as a church. So open up your Bibles and tune in to today's teaching, Spirit-filled.
Today is the release, or actually the official release of this book called Acts San Antonio, Inspiration for Transformation. 28 devotions in English, and you flip it around, 28 in Spanish. So there's 56 devotions on the book of Acts, because there's 28 chapters in the book of Acts, and your copy is yours, free of charge, right back over there. As I said, just take one per person, because we don't have a lot of books. Yes, last Sunday, over 150 of you took a copy, which is great. As long as you read it, we would love for you to do that. Now, what is this all about? I got to tell you, I'm excited about it. Churches across San Antonio are coming together in unity. Amen. And how many of you believe we need the Spirit of God in the city of San Antonio? Amen. And churches, pastors have gotten together, and Fortress is one of them, launching today a sermon series on the book of Acts. We've entitled our sermon series Unstoppable. And so much of what we're going to do, I'm going to be quoting from this book, and because it's all from the book of Acts. So just to let you know, we at Fortress Church believe in what God is doing in our city. You know, oftentimes you say, why do we pray for another church? That's kind of weird, Pastor Randy. Actually, it's not. We believe that God is doing something good in the Christian churches all across the city. Amen? And we want to be in agreement with them. We're not in competition with other churches in our city. No, we don't want to compete against them. We want to complete them. And for that reason, we pray for them every Sunday. We pray for church every Sunday. And very few churches do that because we believe in what God is doing in our city. And now we're coming into unity with Acts San Antonio. Dozens of churches are preaching starting today on the book of Acts. Wouldn't it be great if we could experience what the early church experienced, what we read in the book of Acts? Wouldn't it be great if that unfolded the city of San Antonio in 2019? Amen. It's not impossible. We want to do what we can and believe that God can do it. So this is what this is all about. So today we start a brand new sermon series called Unstoppable. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 says this, but you will receive power. Somebody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to be right here in your presence. As we've been worshiping you, Lord God, we sense that your Spirit is alive and well right here. And Lord, we know that you desire to speak to us. And we pray that, Lord, your word would come alive to us. Holy Spirit, we call on you to be our teacher today. May we understand the depth of what you want to speak into our lives. We are here to give glory to you, and Lord, bless this message in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. You may be seated. My heart is saddened every time I hear a story of how someone walks into a school or store or synagogue and begins shooting people in that place. My heart is saddened when I see so many people around us in our city and in our nation declaring that living in sin is okay. One of the things that I was reading this past week, there was a shooting at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. And then 2 weeks ago on Resurrection Sunday, there was a mass shooting at a number of churches in the country of Sri Lanka. And I was reading a news report on the topic of mass shootings. And one of the characteristics of the shooters of these tragedies is almost every one of them has no remorse. It's like they don't think they've done anything wrong. No conscience, no convictions, no morals, no remorse. And it goes beyond just shooting in schools and churches and synagogues and movie theaters. It is that they walk around and is more than that, they have no morals, no convictions. And I would attribute that because they have no Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who brings conviction on us. Do I hear an amen to that? And have you ever felt something that when you are on the verge of sinning, when you are on the verge of doing something wrong, there's something in you that says, no, don't go there. Don't do that. It's not butterflies. It's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And if you felt that, praise God, you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, not everybody does. Not everybody, they will go and do and what they want to do and sin like they want to sin and live like they want to live and have no convictions. They think, I'm not doing anything wrong. But praise God for the Holy Spirit that was poured out, that we read about in the book of Acts, that is still alive and well today. The Holy Spirit is simply God's presence in us. God's presence in us. Some people have it, some people don't. I do believe that this world would be totally different if every person in this world had the presence of God in them. But unfortunately, today, we see that our culture is very accepting of sin. Sin is, that's a way of life. But when we read the Gospels, we can clearly see Jesus' response. What did Jesus do time and time again? He loved the sinner, but he hated the sin. But today, in our society, pretty much our society is saying, you've got to love the sinner, and you've got to accept and embrace their sin. It's not what Jesus did. Jesus spoke against sin. Jesus condemned sin, but he loved the sinner. How many of you want to do things the way Jesus did things? Unfortunately, our culture is telling us something different. Our culture is telling us something different. And I just want to say, I want to encourage every one of us to get out and speak our voice. I was saddened last night at the 10 o'clock news when I was watching it. And, of course, the number one story is the elections that took place yesterday in San Antonio. And one of the news reporters says 12% of San Antonians went out to vote in this election. And I'm thinking, 12%? That's pretty sad. Only 12% of our people went out and voted. Of course, the votes were towards our mayor, future mayor, and also city council people. And that saddened me because now more than ever, we need the Christian voice in our city of San Antonio because there's battles going on. One of the candidates for mayor condemns the Bible and condemns sin. The other one endorses and loves the Bible. But are Christians going out to support? I'm not telling you who to vote for. I do want to encourage you, can we vote for the Bible? Can we vote for what the Scripture says? And I want to encourage you, not only with the mayoral race, but the others. Now, there is a runoff, and I just want to encourage you, if you don't have your voter's registration, get it before the runoff election. Hopefully you can, because your voice is important. You always hear me say that, but I always want to encourage you to speak your voice, and hopefully your voice is God's voice. But the sin that we see around our society is so prevalent all around us, and my point is this: we need a move of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit kind of settles the issue, and a lot of people will say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, but they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. What we see in the book of Acts is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God became unstoppable for the kingdom of God. And they not only spoke against sin, took a stand against sin, but they took a stand for righteousness. Let's take another sinful issue today, cohabitation, couples living together while not being married. According to the National Center for Family and Marriage Research, the number of Americans who have cohabitated in the past 25 years has doubled. They say that today, 66% of married couples actually lived together before they got married. And in 2013, they said about 5 million children were living in cohabitating families. And when I read that statistic, I'm thinking, why in the world would any man, any woman, set the example and teach their children that it's okay to live a life of sin. And it boggles my mind why people would do that. But that's something that our culture says, oh, that's okay. You can live together and you can teach your children. Now, well, I'm not teaching my children. Well, yes, you are. Anytime we set the example. How many know what we're talking about? As parents, as adults, we set the example. And what I'm saying, my point in bringing this topic up is because we need a move of the Holy Spirit. And some of you may say, well, Pastor Randy, you're preaching against sin. I'm offended. Can I tell you something? You know what? There's two ways to handle this. It's either you become offended or you receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit. See, because in some ways, being offended and being convicted is the same thing, but it's how you respond. If you're offended by what the Bible says about sin, then you may react in anger. Well, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to go to church because I'm offended by what the pastor said. It's all in the Bible. But on the other hand, there are those who have the godly attitude to say, you know what? I'm not offended. I'm convicted because I want to live a life that pleases the Lord. And if you respond with conviction, you know what that is? It's a response of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's, one of the primary role of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction upon us. When I see, and when I read the book of Acts, I see what happens to the people of God when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Standards are raised. Conviction comes. God is glorified. Morals rise. Oh, how we need a move of the Holy Spirit today. So that we, like the early church, could be unstoppable. In Acts chapter 1, we read that Jesus gave a mandate to his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on them so that they would be unstoppable witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 2, we read that the Holy Spirit did come with a powerful outpouring, and the 120 who were gathered there, they began to speak in tongues. And then Peter stood up to preach an unstoppable message, and 3,000 people came to faith in the Lord. Then the early church became unstoppable. One of the quotes from the book of Acts, or rather the Acts San Antonio, I'll give you a quote, Pastor Eli Bonilla, who wrote chapter 2 here, he says this, "The longing of the multitude of Acts 2 is now the longing of multitudes in the 21st century. The Holy Spirit is still empowering us, the church, to tell others about Jesus." And then we read Acts chapter 3, and we read that Peter and John were walking through to the gate beautiful, and they encountered a lame beggar. And although Peter and John didn't have silver and gold, what they did have, they gave to the lame man, and they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the lame man got up and walked. Something happened in Peter and John that now had given them the unstoppable ability to bring healing to those who needed healing. We read in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7 that Stephen and other leaders were anointed to serve in the church. And even though persecution came against them, even to the point of death, their leadership in the church became unstoppable. In Acts chapter 8, Philip, we read about this, was so on fire for God that he literally ran up next to a chariot that was carrying an Ethiopian eunuch who had questions about the gospel message. Well, Philip led this Ethiopian eunuch to salvation, and right there they stopped the chariot, and this man was baptized. We read in Acts chapter 9, a man named Saul, who was a persecutor of the Christians, was literally blinded by light, and he fell off his horse. Why? Because God was trying to get his attention, because Paul was later to become an unstoppable apostle, pastor, teacher, and missionary. Are you seeing what the move of the Holy Spirit will do? Hopefully you're catching it, and it's all captured in the 28 chapters of the book of Acts. We can read in Acts chapter 12 that Peter was thrown into prison for preaching the gospel, and the church began to pray. They began to pray and pray and pray. Then there was an unstoppable move of God. God sent an angel to supernaturally release Peter from the chains in prison. We read in Acts chapter 13, the beginnings of Paul's missionary journeys and would take him to unstoppable, to take the unstoppable message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to regions that were in desperate need to hear about Jesus. We read in Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas were in jail for preaching the gospel. And what did they do? They began to sing. They began to worship God. And guess what happened? The unstoppable presence of the Holy Spirit came in that prison cell and the chains fell off and Paul and Silas were set free in the name of Jesus. What I'm trying to tell you is that the book of Acts is filled with story after story of what happens when men and women of God are filled with the Holy Spirit. Mighty things happen. Miracles happen. Healings take place. Transformation. Households being saved because of the unstoppable work of the Holy Spirit. And I have the kind of faith to believe that what God did 2,000 years ago could very well happen in 2019, because I believe in the unstoppable work of the Holy Spirit today. So as we move on, I want to present to you three questions. What is your response to what happened in the book of Acts? And if you believe it can happen today, three questions for you personally. Number one, question number one, do you believe in the promises of God? Do you believe in the promises of God? Because in verse 4 of chapter 1 of Acts, it was Jesus who said these words. He told the 12, he told the disciples, he told the believers, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. What is he saying? For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Is there anybody who says amen to that? Amen. But what does Jesus say? Wait for the gift my Father promised. My question for you is, do you believe in the promises of God? Do you believe in a God who fulfills every promise to you? Well, I got to tell you, when you continue to read the book of Acts, Jesus, his words came alive. Because indeed, the promise of the Holy Spirit came alive and the Holy Spirit was poured out. So those who believe, now did everybody believe in the promise? No. In fact, I'm going to say this. According to most historians, there were about 500 people who were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ after his crucifixion and resurrection. About 500 people, most scholars will say, came in contact and were eyewitnesses of Jesus. How many were in the upper room? Scripture says in Acts chapter 2, there were 120. And I kind of believe, now this is, I'm going to give you my opinion, that 120 believed in the promise. But what does that mean? If my math is correct, there may have been 380 that said, later for that promise. Oh, did they see Jesus? They saw him face to face. And this is my opinion. I kind of believe maybe those 380 were giving excuses why they weren't part of the 120 who were in the upper room. The problem is this, those 380 missed out on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Those 380 missed out, and maybe they didn't even believe in the promise that Jesus gave them. My friend, do you believe in the promises of God? Because if you do not believe, if you do not act on the promises of God, you may end up to be one of those that fails to see and receive and experience the miracle working hand of God. I don't know about you. I don't want to be on the outside looking in. I want to be right there when the miracles of God unfold. Is there anybody there with me? Amen. I want to be right there to experience the miracle hand of God. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. We rejoiced that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven to earth, that he went to the cross to pay the price for your sins and mine, and that he rose from the grave on the third day. Amen. But that's not the end of the story. God's story did not end on the cross, and it didn't end at the tomb, because about 46 days later, that's right, the reason I came up with that figure is because Passover and Pentecost, there's a 50-day gap. Penta means 50. So, you know, Jesus died on Passover, And then after the third day, you know, I'm giving it 46, 47 days later. Guess what happens? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came because it was on the day of Pentecost. I can imagine God was thinking, okay, I sent Jesus. He fulfilled what I sent him to do, the cross, the tomb. Now Jesus is back here with me, but I don't want to leave my people alone. I can imagine God saying, I sent my people, my presence in the person of Jesus. Now Jesus is back here with me. I want to send my people, my presence once again. So God, I can imagine saying, now I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And aren't you glad that God sent us the gift of the Holy Spirit? See, the problem is this. Many people, after Resurrection Sunday, they go back to the same old, same old. They got excited about God on Resurrection Sunday. But then afterwards, they went back to their half-hearted commitment to the Lord God Almighty. That should not be, because now we are blessed with the presence of the Holy Spirit. This past Thursday was the National Day of Prayer, and many people showed up to pray for our nation. Some believers wanted, they just wanted more and more of God, prayer warriors. Now, let me just take an excerpt of the National Day of Prayer for America that was prayed all across this nation this past Thursday, because I know many of you are prayer warriors. Dr. Ronnie Floyd was the president of this year's National Day of Prayer, and he wrote this. Our Heavenly Father, we look to you alone for the future of America. By your providence, you have placed each of us here at this time in history to be in this nation. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for America. But above all, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It is in his name we come to you as we intercede to pray for America. Forgive us, O Lord, for the sins we have committed against you in America. We are failing you by dishonoring one another through our harsh and bitter words about each other. We are failing you through broken relationships. We are failing you by devaluing human life from conception until death. We are failing you with the division in our nation. Lord, we turn from our sinful actions and refuse to live this way. Please forgive us now and help us choose love over hate, unity over division, and life over death. We pray for ethnicities and people in America to love one another. Lord, tear down every wall of division and change any attitude that divides us today. Bind up our nation's wounds, and may the transforming love of God lead us to the day when justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. We need and desire this so much, beginning right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior and hope of this world, we pray, amen. That's a portion of the prayer that was prayed all across America this past Thursday. I don't know about you, but I praise God that this nation that we live in today was founded on biblical principles, founded on faith in Jesus Christ. And there's promise for this nation. Do you believe in the promises of God? Question two, do you want to live your Christian life with or without the power of the Holy Spirit? What is that question once again? Do you want to live your Christian life with or without the power of the Holy Spirit? Acts is all about living with the power of the Holy Spirit. You have a choice. Once you come to faith in Jesus, praise God, I have my ticket to heaven. Amen. But there's some who live, you know, I got to tell you this. I've run across so many defeated believers today. Are they saved? Yes, they're saved. Did they give their heart to Jesus? Yes, they did. But they're defeated. It's like their spiritual life is dragging. Or maybe their spiritual life has plateaued, no longer growing or even digressing. Sometimes I feel like slapping that individual in the face. In the name of Jesus, okay? And saying, come on, don't you want to live by the power of the Holy Spirit? You don't have to live a defeated life. You don't have to be down and out. You have at your fingertips the ability to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some choose to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some choose not to. What does it say here in Acts chapter 2, verse 1? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like the sound of a blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them, does it say half of them? Nope. Verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Another quote from the Acts San Antonio book from my buddy Pastor Kevin Duhart. He says, without hesitation, Peter chose to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. Peter's obedience helped bring a multi-generational household of faith in the Lord Jesus. How many destinies are connected to your arrival? What he's referring to is right after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what did Peter do? He got up and he preached. How many people came to faith in the Lord? Scripture says 3,000. What I'm saying is they were waiting on Peter's arrival. Peter was awaiting on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the destinies of 3,000 people, 3,000 lives were changed for eternity. The question here in this quote is, how many destinies are connected to your arrival? Do you realize that when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you can be led by the Spirit of God to go tell somebody about Jesus? And they may very well could be waiting for your arrival. Think about that. Now, I love to talk about the Holy Spirit, but just very quickly, I want to say the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Bible uses personal pronouns referencing the Holy Spirit. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as a he. He will come. He is actually the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit relates to us as a person. He teaches us, he guides us, he comforts us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be loved, adored, offended, sinned against. He must be he's a person. And not just a person, he's a divine person. Believing in the Holy Spirit means that we believe in a living God who is able to dwell with a person, dwell in us, and change us. Now, for the sake, if you want to go a little deeper, I wrote a little article that says the role of the Holy Spirit. That is this week's Digging Deeper Notes. If you want a copy of that, you can go on over to the Connection Hub. And I got to say this, I am glad that I am part of a Spirit-filled church. Not every church believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not every church believes in speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. Can I tell you that I am proud to be part of a church that is Spirit-filled? Yeah, I've run into many people who say, oh yeah, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that was back for Bible times. Well, I got to tell you, I got to tell you that when the Word of God gives us a promise, there is a promise of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for history. It's for you and I today. Does anybody believe with me? Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit is alive and well today. And I don't want you to miss out on all that God has for you and I. Okay, question number 3. Are you satisfied with an average Christian life? I've run into so many people that live an average Christian life. What do I mean by that? Well, they are okay with the same old, ordinary Christian life. But I have a feeling that there's some people in this room that want more of God. I have a feeling that there's some people here today that want more of the Spirit of God, that want more of the glory of God. I have a feeling that there's some people in this place that want more of the power of God. Is there anybody here with me? I don't want to be an average Christian. I am not satisfied with the average Christian life. I have a feeling that God wants to take us from the ordinary to the extraordinary, from the natural to the supernatural. You see, but it's got to start with a thirst. And I ask you, are you satisfied with the average Christian life? Or do you thirst for more? Do you want more of God? Do you want more of his presence? Here's a life lesson. Many believers don't experience the best that God has for them because they settle for average. See, the average Christian doesn't read the Bible regularly. The average Christian doesn't have daily devotions. The average Christian doesn't serve in ministry at the church. The average Christian doesn't tithe. The average Christian doesn't have a weekly discipleship plan. The average Christian doesn't evangelize and share their faith with others. I don't know about you, I don't want to be average. Here's a quote from the Acts San Antonio book from Pastor Ed Newton. He says, "Your death to life story is compelling. It's one worth sharing." Yeah, in other words, are you one of those that shares your faith? Or are you an average Christian that just, I don't need to do that? Don't be an average Christian. Instead, I encourage you to be an anointed believer, devoted. And I get the word devoted from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. It says here, they devoted themselves. This is talking about the early believers, the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread. And when they say they continued to meet in the temple courts, then it says they broke bread in their homes and ate with glad and sincere hearts. That's a picture of connect groups. That's a picture of fellowship. That's a picture of discipleship. And then verse 47 says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What is the characteristics of a devoted person who's not settling for the average Christian life? It tells you right here. Bible teaching, fellowship, communion, prayer, ministry, discipleship, worship, evangelism. I'm telling you right now that it's all about being totally devoted to the Lord. And when you are devoted to the Lord, you're going to experience the outpouring of the Spirit of God. I close this message by telling you a story. The students in the first period of chemistry filed in for the final exam. The teacher had told them beforehand that they could bring on a sheet of paper as much information as they could to help them with their final exam. Some came with sheets that had very small writing on them. Others had diagrams and formulas. And others had outlines that had labels for everything. But one student walked in with a sheet of paper, and it had nothing written on it. That's right. And as they got ready for the exam, this student placed his sheet of paper on the floor next to his desk, and right beside his desk. And when the final exam started, this student motioned for his buddy who was outside of the door of the classroom, and he motioned him to come in. His buddy was a graduate student, his mentor, and his buddy walked over and stood with his 2 feet on the paper to give this freshman all the answers that he needed for the final exam. What, didn't the professor say you can bring a piece of paper and anything on there can help you with your test? That's what the teacher said. The other students in the class looked over and said, wait a minute, that's wrong. That this guy has an unfair advantage over us. You know what I'm talking about? This guy has an unfair advantage over us. That's not fair. He aced the test thanks to his buddy who was right there by his side. Why do I tell that story? Because that's what could happen to you and I. You see, you have a choice how to live your life. with the Spirit or without the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like that mentor, the graduate student, the one who knows everything. And when you motion to the Holy Spirit, come here, I need you right here by my side. The Holy Spirit can be right there. He'll help you pass your test. He'll help you ace your test. He'll help you know everything. He brings everything to your mind. He brings everything to your intellect. The Holy Spirit is going to help you graduate to another level. The problem is many people don't call on the Holy Spirit to come and stand by their side. Many Christians, I will depend on my own knowledge, on what I can do. Wouldn't it be great if we had the Holy Spirit right there by our side every moment of every day? He can be by our side every moment of every day. And the other people around us, they may say, that's an unfair advantage. That's all right. I'm a child of the King. I'm filled with the Spirit. You may look at it as an unfair advantage, but I am living under the power of the Holy Spirit every moment of my life. Amen. Is there anybody who wants to join me in having the Holy Spirit by your side every moment of every day? That's the kind of life we can live. And when we live like that, my friend, you are unstoppable.
Yes, with God's Spirit by our side, we are unstoppable. Just a reminder, like Pastor Randy said, the Acts San Antonio devotional book is available at Fortress Church at our Connection Hub. You could get your copy for free. It's a great book, like he said, with 28 local leaders in San Antonio dedicating time to write to people like you and me going through the book of Acts. So I hope you enjoyed this series. We'll see you next week for the continuation of the book of Acts series, Unstoppable. God bless.